Everyone, it's approximately 4:05. I call to order the meeting of the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, we will start with the roll call. We have Ellen Schmidt, who is the Chair of the Ethics Commission, present.
We do.
We have a designee on behalf of Charlie Kofer, the public defender, which is Owen Schmidt, who's present. We have Brian Hughes, who is present, Chief Administrative Officer for Mayor Lenny Curry. We have Judge Julie Taylor, who is the designee for the Honorable Mark Bahan, who's the Chief Judge. We have the Honorable Samuel Newby, who is the President of the City Council. We have myself, Lee Hutton, and we have Mr. Henry, who is the Chair of the True Commission. So everyone who's on the committee is present. We can start with old business, which would be approval of the meeting minutes from November 10th, 2021.
Move minutes.
Second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. We will move on to new business, which is going to be consideration of candidates for the interim inspector general. When we were last here, we requested that the general counsel attempt to solicit some potential candidates. It is my understanding that we have received 3 potential resumes, but I'll let Mr. Teal address the committee as to where we stand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jason Teal, the Office of General Counsel, through the chair to the committee. As Mr. Hutton mentioned, we were directed at the last meeting to come up with some candidates for the potential interim or acting Inspector General, someone to fill that position while the investigation was ongoing for the current Inspector General. One thing I wanted to make clear that kind of came up is that this is not it's not a position where this person would be replacing the current one. It's basically someone who would be able to function as an interim inspector general during the pendency of this particular action. So I wanted to make it clear that this is not an employee hire, so to speak. This is someone that we would bring in while they would be compensated, but that we would bring in to actually just kind of administer the office. You heard at the last meeting the necessity for that in order to be able to issue subpoenas, to issue reports, to do the things that the IG needs to do. It was felt by the committee last week that that we really needed to have somebody in there that could perform those duties in the interim. So that's the purpose here. So we did come up with 3 names of individuals that we would like to present to you all, and you should have copies of their bio or their resume in front of you in no particular order. We can go through those, and then Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, I'd kind of just like to just kind of talk through those a little bit, and then you can bring it back to the committee for discussion. But we probably need to cover all of them up front before you guys deliberate on any particular individual. So the first person I wanted to talk to you all about was Cheryl Goodman. And Ms. Goodman actually has some experience with our Inspector General's office. She has a long-standing relationship with the IG position, with familiarity with how IG offices work. You can see from her resume that she's got over 30 years of experience with programmatic, operational, and oversight experience. With various levels of government as well as some of the private sector folks. 13 years of experience leading and directing offices of Inspector General. Most of her experience came from serving as the Inspector General for Palm Beach, Florida. For the purposes of us locally, she was engaged to assist with the development of our Inspector General ordinance. And she served as the interim inspector general when it was going on. She is currently employed. I think she's got her own kind of consulting service, but she's on assignment for the United Nations doing a project with them. That's coming to conclusion. And so timing wise, I think that she wouldn't be able to physically be here until after December 1st. So I do want to put that, your understanding on that. Is that there is kind of a delay, I guess, in terms of when she would be able to start as far as physically being here. She may be able to be remote to participate in those kinds of things, but that's one thing I did want to make sure that you were aware of with regard to her. Second candidate is Mike Weinstein. And so Mr. Weinstein is someone that has background in a lot of different things, but with specific to government. He has a lot of experience with the state attorney's office. He was with the state attorney's office here for a long time. He's worked on various boards, various commissions. He has been an advisor to the government in a lot of different capacities. You can see from his work experience and his accomplishments. One of his most recent tasks was to take over as the CEO of the Jacksonville Kids Hope Alliance. Some of you may recall that there was a period of turmoil over there with that particular agency where they needed somebody to be able to come in, kind of take the reins, and to lead them through a difficult time as far as outgoing leadership. Taking over for an office that was in somewhat of a disarray, so to speak. He did indicate, however, that he felt like he would be able to devote time to the interim position with the IG's office. However, he still felt like he was needed at the Kids Hope Alliance, so this wouldn't be 100% of his focus, would not be on the IG's office, so I did want to clarify that. As far as the limitation would go, and so he did express an interest and has experience dealing with the city of Jacksonville. That's the value he brings, is with all of our various agencies and organizations and departments, a familiarity. He didn't feel like he could terminate his relationship with the Kids Hope Alliance at this point in time, so that would be a limiting factor for him. The third and final candidate is Kurt Sherman. He has been was with the City Council Auditor's Office for a significant period of time. He's got 37 years of experience with the Council Auditor's Office, and for those of you who aren't as familiar with our Council Auditor's Office, this is in essence the function that they perform with on behalf of the City Council. And so he retired from the Council Auditor's Office, and he's currently part-time with the Chief Financial Officer for the city on various projects. He did indicate that he would focus 100% of his time on the Inspector General position, so that wouldn't be a conflict for him to be able to do that. But as the Council Auditor and Council President, you're familiar with what the Auditor's Office does for the City Council, but basically they do audits, and so in terms of leading in investigations and being able to participate in those types of endeavors, he's familiar with that process. He understands, being with the city for 37 years, how it's put together, how it functions, in terms of governmental requirements and ethics codes and those kinds of things that are unique to the city and to our various departments. With an auditing background, he does bring to this particular job the ability to think of things kind of from an auditor perspective. He was the City Council Auditor, so that means that he supervised the staff of the Auditor's Office. So he had teams of auditors that worked with him, so he is familiar with supervising folks that are doing audits and those kinds of things. He did indicate that that he would be available immediately to be able to step in and take over this position. I think that we could probably let him have some time off for the holidays if we wanted to, but he's has a lengthy a list of credentials and professional experience that you can review there as well. And if you guys had any questions of him specifically, he asked me if I thought he needed to be here. I said, it's not required, but you're here, so if you want to come in, it's up to you. So So I wanted to let you all know that as well. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you have any questions for me.
So I would open up to the entire committee any specific questions for Mr. Teal. Yes, sir. Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll get to a question, but I just there's some things that strike me in that summary alone. First, thank you to OGC. I think all three, given the breadth and depth of their experiences, you brought three very capable people to us, which could make it harder. I would say that I'm struck by the delay of Ms. Goodman. That concerns me. Understandable, given being away from the city, and some time away from the city also is a little bit of a concern. I can tell you, Mr. Weinstein, I ended up talking to him this morning. He is a department director, and I thought that he was potentially someone that would do it just this job, but he does have the desire to continue to be a part of the Kids Hope Alliance as they continue to go forward. Personally, I would I think it should be whoever takes the role should be in that role exclusively, and particularly I think although there is some autonomy at Kids Hope Alliance, it fundamentally is a department of the city, and I think it would be odd to have the overlap of the Inspector General and the leadership in a department, but that's just my opinion on that. Kirk, also, in addition to the experience, I might say a little bit more, which is the auditors, some peer auditor and they think of their taxes or whatever. There's a very wide array of services provided by the council auditors, and although they're the city council auditor, their work goes across the entire city government because they do that for our legislative body. He's also been working part-time with the finance administration department, so I know Kirk's work a bit. And he's been integral to our budgeting process. He's been integral to the functionality of the administration related to finance. So his work ethic and quality is excellent. And his willingness to devote his time solely to this acting position and being able to do it right away make him a very strong candidate for me personally. The question would be if you have any guidance on our process. Should we get any sense of, should we undertake an individual scoring and that kind of review of mine?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that basically I think that it could be a good opportunity for you all to just kind of discuss pluses and minuses, what you think is important, and then, you know, if anybody wanted to make a motion, I wouldn't recommend kind of a scoring thing. You know, we didn't prepare any kind of thing ahead of time as far as categories or anything along those lines, so that it's kind of, you know, would need to be kind of an apples-to-apples comparison for, you know, for the different categories that you score. But, you know, you may want to just talk through, you know, as Mr. Hughes just did, you know, kind of the things that you feel are important for this particular individual. I will say this. We did review at the last meeting the qualifications necessary, and all three of these meet all of those qualifications. I should have probably mentioned that at the outset. So they do meet the requirements in the ordinance code for the Inspector General. So that box has been checked for all of these. They've been vetted from that standpoint. But, you know, it's really up to y'all, you know, in terms of, you know, the things that you think are important. You know, obviously, you know, this is you kind of have an understanding of the need, you know, that Mr. King mentioned at the last meeting as far as, you know, the kinds of things that they need immediately to be able to fulfill those requirements. You know, so, you know, it's kind of a, you know, free form. Eventually, you know, somebody would probably make a motion for a particular candidate, and then, you know, you can see if that might be the best place to start, maybe, after you've had some initial discussions about the things that you think are important.
I just have a question. We don't know how long this is going to go, and I see out of the three, only one has been an Inspector General. Would that put the accreditation in jeopardy? Let's say we choose Kirk, I'm just using an example. Would that put the department in jeopardy?
Because no, I mean, you know, we're talking about a person who's an interim. Mm-hmm. You know, in that, you know, they're certain. I'll say interim in a couple of different ways. First interim would be while we're going through the process to determine, while y'all are going through the process to determine whether there's any substantial components to the complaints that were made to justify the removal of the current IG. So that's interim number one. And then interim number two would be if, and that's a big if you do vote to remove the current IG after we have the hearing, then that person could continue on until a permanent IG is selected. You did hear from Mr. King last time about, they are very familiar with the accreditation process. They're very familiar with the procedures that need to be followed in order to make sure that the office functions in the way it's supposed to function. And so they would be able to provide whatever guidance is necessary to who this person would be. But no, the short answer is no. I don't believe that there would be an issue, no matter who you selected, as far as their accreditation goes.
So, Jason, you say you don't believe or it's not going to be an issue. It's a big difference.
From our review of it, there's not going to be an issue. Okay. There may be other things that come into play that might question that, but just based upon the OGC's review of it, there's not going to be an issue.
Okay.
Can I ask a couple
absolutely
questions? Yeah, then you can go first because I saw you.
Oh, please.
Okay, so I had a couple questions and I had a couple comments for the committee. I saw your face. So I didn't know, is there something you wanted to add to that?
I actually just wanted to just reiterate what Mr. Teal said, is that no, there would not be an issue with them not being an inspector general. As long as this committee has gone through, and obviously will deliberate, they go through a transparent process to select them, and that they're then given the independence, that there wouldn't be the issue. That the accreditation is really a set of guidelines that our office in general has to meet, and I believe the three candidates would obviously would meet the qualifications, because the only qualification we have that would involve in some of that would that we'd have someone who was qualified to be the Inspector General, and I think all three of them strongly meet that standard.
Okay. The next question I had, I know it's kind of awkward because he's like right here, so, but I'll go ahead and ask the question.
I can leave too. No problem.
But whether he wants to answer it or someone, Mr. Teal, you want to answer it for him, is it Mr. Sherman's intention to go back to his part-time position after an interim?
I'll let Mr. Sherman answer that question.
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
I'm prepared to sit as the interim for several months, but our intent is to go back to the finance department.
Okay. So, my comments to the committee, I guess I'm showing my hand, the two candidates that I like the most were Ms. Goodman and Mr. Sherman. Partly because I think both of them have the closest to the highest degree of the qualifications that are under the code. The only question that I have, and it's a concern, I don't know whether it's merited or not, is when we were talking at our last meeting, we really wanted to ensure that whoever served in the interim position had the most degree of separation from city government. And if that could be addressed in some way, because when Mr. Sherman said that he would go back to the administration, my thought is, okay, you're in this position that is walled off from the entire government. You have access to lots of investigations, and you've got to go back. So if someone can address that, that's just my only.
And before someone answers, if I could echo that, I know that with Chief Judge Mahan being here at the prior meeting and me being here now, he discussed with me the information that came up at the prior meeting. He had the same concern as well, asked me to relay that, and certainly Mr. Sherman is well qualified. There is no question whatsoever that he is qualified, but it does seem that there's a potential for conflict given where he's coming from, the immediate transition, and as was said, potentially an immediate transition back.
So, through the chair, to the committee, I'll respond this way, is that when the council auditors are asked to perform an audit on a particular agency within the government, or even beyond the government, they do have certain aspects where they can go and audit private businesses and private industries. They approach that with a set of auditing principles, and those auditing principles are really very similar to what the Inspector General's office has to deal with. So his 30-plus years of being in the city, with the City Council Auditor's Office, he is already used to operating within the confines of a separateness of a non-influence, because of the fact that if there is any hint of any kind of influence or anything along those lines, it automatically affects the credibility of the determinations that they make in those audits. And so I do know that our council auditor's office has, and Kurt, I don't know if you guys, if there's actual a certification that you guys have.
Yes, there is. We go through a peer review process.
And so that's why we felt like he was a good candidate, even though, you know, those types of things were there, is because of the fact that he's not just a normal, regular, you know, employee. He is someone who has over three decades of experience dealing with auditing principles and maintaining the kind of confidentialities that you would need to maintain, as well as ultimately preparing a results report. And those results reports, in a lot of ways, in actually most ways, mirror the types of reports that we get from the Inspector General's office, in that they have findings, they have the ability for the agency to comment on those, and then to offer suggestions for areas of improvement. So they do in a lot of ways perform the same tasks, and it's that kind of separateness and independence. It is really more, you know, in terms of the council auditor's office, yeah, they're under the council, city council, but it's basically the city council identifies for them things to go investigate, much like complaints coming into the IG's office, you know, but once they've identified, they've asked them to go do those investigations, it's hands off. And, you know, once the auditors come back with their report and their determination, then that's what they advise to the city council. So that's why we felt like, you know, they've got enough experience, or he's got enough experience in the same types of confidentiality, and the process that they use is very similar, I think, to what's the accredited process that our IG's office uses.
Yeah, and I was one of those people that said you guys should look at city auditor's office anyway. So
great question, though.
The last question I have, and I guess it would be in this motion as well. Ms. Mosher can answer it. Have we also figured out the degrees of compensation for all three candidates and how that would work? Because they're all uniquely in different situations.
I think I can handle that through the chair. So I have a list, and I think you provided it's the current salaries and staffing. But the IG itself, we had recently moved that up. At the minimum of that position at 147, I would, if I were moving a candidate, and I may at some point, I would move them to be at that level of compensation.
147.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, I think Mr. King had something to add. He's probably going to correct me.
No. I'm not going to correct you. It's more so because Mr. Henry brought up a good point about the concerns, and the Judge Taylor brought up as well about the concerns about conflicts of interest. Something that our office does just as a general practice is when we get any sort of complaint in, we review it, and any individual that's involved has to essentially attest that they do not have a conflict of interest. So obviously that would be something that we look at each single thing, and Mr. Sherman, if he were the candidate or any of the candidates, would have to be able to attest and say, hey, I'm not going to have a conflict. So that's something they'd have to think about after the fact, that afterwards, if it was, for instance, something involving finance accounting, it's something he may have, you could argue he had a conflict, and he may not be able to be involved in that except for a very small amount. Or maybe it's something we would have to discuss with the OGC. But on the other side, with that as well, we also require people who, when they leave our office, to sign non-disclosure agreements where they are understood that they cannot take or use any information that they obtained during the course of their employment with our office. So it's a piece of paper, but I think particularly with individuals of high integrity, that's all you need. It's just a reminder that anything that you say or hear, it stays while you're with this employment and you can't disperse it. Because it is a concern, but I do think we do have the structure that can combat that, and at least that can handle that, and we can work through with our partners with OGC to overcome that.
So are you saying that it wouldn't trouble you if we chose Mike Weinstein and there's a complaint that came in against KHA, or we chose Mr. Sherman and there's a complaint that came in against the CFO?
Well, I think let's try to make sure that we're going apples to apples here, because again, the difference with Mr. Weinstein, and to your point, that could be an issue, but with Mr. Weinstein, he's actually actively going to stay engaged, involved with that entity. If Mr. Sherman is going to be actively involved with us, I view him as, he truly is, a member of the Inspector General team. Mr. Weinstein, unfortunately, from what I've heard through from Mr. Hughes and from Mr. Teal, would be kind of on this side and on that side, and it's hard to be able to really create a real, you know, I think the phrase was, and pardon me if this is a PC, Chinese wall. They talk about building, you know, essentially building the wall to block it off. I think it's easier when someone who is completely in our office as compared to someone who has one foot in and one foot out. And I say this with someone who's had a chance to work with Mr. Weinstein and think very, very highly of him.
Does anyone else have any specific questions? I'm
sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. My thoughts were actually along the same lines as what you have mentioned regarding the independence of the Inspector General's office and a concern that some of the candidates are perhaps too tied to city government, and I enjoyed the conversation around that and feel better informed now. I wonder, Mr. Teal, you had said that Cheryl Goodman might be available remotely prior to December 1st, and if that's something we could explore, because I am impressed with her experience as an IG, although I'm, again, impressed with you as well.
In all fairness, I haven't actually spoken with Ms. Goodman. I'm getting all of this through through Carla Miller. She had a conversation. She knows Ms. Goodman. Is that she is currently in the D.C. area, and she's going to be wrapping up, the project that she's involved in. And so she was estimating that that would not get wrapped up until after December 1st. And so that's she has family here, so she would be able to relocate here, but it wouldn't be until after December 1st. Now, she did indicate that, she would be able to participate remotely, conference calls, that kind of thing, in the interim, so it's not like she would be unavailable. It's just that she wouldn't be able to fully devote, all of it, all of her time to it, because she's wrapping up that project until after December 1st.
So I might have two more questions.
Please ask them.
One is, and it may not matter which order they get answered in, one might be for you, Mr. King, which is, would having remote support for the next couple of weeks be adequate for your office? And the other question is regarding the length of the investigation. Do you think that the investigation will still be going on after December 1st? Although you did say that this person could continue to serve at the interim if a decision is unfavorable towards Ms. King.
Correct. Okay. The investigation will probably be still going on. Okay. Obviously we've got holidays in there that we got to worry about. People's travel plans, that kind of thing. And so I don't want to pin us down to say it's not going to be, or it will be done by December 1st, so I want to give us a little bit more leeway in terms of that. So I would say, not an extraordinary amount after December 1st, but I'm not going to say it's not going to be over with by December 1st, or it is going to be over with by December 1st.
Thank you.
And I guess I'm going second. Through the chair, the job could be done remotely. I think the preference would be that the person obviously would be on site, not only so we can build a rapport and be able to work with them. I've engaged with Ms. Goodman when she was working as the IG advisor. I had a good rapport with her. Obviously, her resume speaks for itself. Ideally, I think it would be best for the office to have someone there on site, because again, it's always good to have your leadership there. Let me maybe phrase it to the committee this way: is it also depends on what the committee is looking as for an interim IG. Are you looking for someone who's just going to sign off reports or sign off subpoenas, or do you want someone else who's in there that has the authority to manage the office? I think that if you're going to do that, it's going to be very difficult to do it remotely. Albeit, again, I will always highly compliment my staff, but if you want someone to be more actively involved, and I'm the first to say I've moved different places for jobs, I know you can give a date. It always can be maybe a little bit more difficult. There's always the complications of going back and forth. You're trying to wrap up where you're living in another area and to make your way back. So that would be a concern. It, like I said, it could be done, but those are the things that you'd have to consider is, are you looking for someone to really be there much more active day-to-day as compared to someone just to be more so just a less hands-on oversight role but has the vested authority?
So I guess my question would be, though, between now and December 1st, obviously you got Thanksgiving next week, and then we're almost at December 1st, so I think the more direct question is, if she's here December 1st, does that have an impact on the running of the Inspector General's office?
Yeah, it would not have an imminent effect at this time. That I think of it may slow down a couple things, but nothing, I think that would be a huge detriment. Yeah, and it's something like, the point you brought up is the holidays themselves, you know, are going to cause slowdowns. We're going to have people that will take leave. And in general, it's a lot harder to get work done, to get a hold of people and do interviews and whatnot with when people are close to holidays because they're taking off as well. So I think the likelihood is it probably wouldn't be, but again, my only concern is just that she actually would be able to get here. If that's what the committee is seeking to have as someone as a more active role.
May I say one thing? It's my understanding she has family here, so it's not that she's coming somewhere that she is unfamiliar with or has no family. So my understanding is coming here would not be a difficulty, but I'm sort of starting to get that impression from you that you think there would be a difficulty.
Yeah, I was unaware that she had family in the area. Yeah, she does. Okay. I was trying to say, my experiences with her, I actually worked for the DCFIG's office a couple years after she had left, and I know that she at that time was living in Tallahassee. And when she was serving as the IG advisor previously, she was not local within the area, and I thought at times they were having to pay for her travel. So that's just based on some of the prior knowledge I have. Our office has delegated this to OGC, so some of the stuff I'm unfortunately not as in-depth all the details.
Mr. Chairman, I did want to point out, too, that there's currently three employees at the IG's office that are on administrative leave pending employment determinations. Since our meeting last week, there was an additional person that had to be put on administrative leave. So I do want to mention that there are those decisions that need to be made, and if we kick that can down the road, you know, too far, then that's just going to delay those determinations and decisions.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. You've been raising your hand the whole time.
Yeah, I'm counting here now two people, Kirk and Ms. Goodman. The problem I have with, the concern I have with Goodman, I know you said it's a possibility she's going to be here December 1st. You don't know that, right? It can be.
Not familiar enough with her travel plans and what it's going to take to pack up a house, move it, you know, kind of here, without getting into too many details, the family that she has here is her daughter, and she's about ready to have a grandchild. So that's why, you know, she was like, you know, moving to Jacksonville might be good, but I don't know to what extent she's able to move in with her under those circumstances, or if she still needs to find a house. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. Is the leave of absence issues that you just said, and then any pending subpoenas? The subpoenas, those can be signed electronically, right?
That's correct, along with reports as well.
So. And then for the leave of absence decision, since they're on leave right now, the only thing that they really that interim person would need to really discuss is with you or with Ms. Mosier, really. So that could be virtual or in person.
It could be, but the issue is to Mr. King's point of having somebody physically here in the office. You know, he reiterated the point that the importance of, that's the reason I brought it up, was it kind of dovetailed with what he mentioned, you know, which is that the importance of having somebody physically here as soon as possible because, you know, of the some of the employment issues that are currently going on in that office. This is all you guys, you know, get to make the determination as to what's important and what's not. You know, but you know, when Mr. King mentioned that he felt like it was important to have somebody physically in the office, I wanted to mention that's something that to be considered is that, you know, that person, while they could do it remotely, you know, the effectiveness, I guess, of talking to the other employees involved, you know, understanding what the issues are, you know, being familiar with, you know, the people that are on administrative leave, the circumstances under which they were placed on administrative leave. You know, those are some issues I think that you know, might mitigate in favor of, you know, having somebody in the office.
So, I'm sorry, sir. I was going to say this is a bit unorthodox, but I'd like to know the answer to the question of when she could be physically available.
My question is before that. Would be appropriate before that. To be clear, this committee asked OGC to vet and create a list.
Correct.
Did you speak with Mr. Weinstein? Did someone from OGC interact with
him? Yes, sir.
Did someone from OGC interact with Mr. Sherman?
Yes, sir.
So the former ethics director wasn't charged by this committee to recruit, but presented something to you.
Correct.
So it's a person that the information you were presenting came through the now retired ethics director.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That troubles me, but more importantly, regardless of if they can be here on December 1st, this committee convened with a sense of urgency a week ago, brought that sense of urgency a week later to get to this point as quickly as possible. We have staff who, although excellent at what they do, are seeing turmoil around them every day, leadership and colleagues dealing with various components of this. I appreciate her resume. I don't know her. I assume many of us don't. But for me, I do have a strong concern about availability immediately and presence immediately. I think given what the office is going through and has gone through, the ability to email a signature on a subpoena, I don't think is the biggest requirement of this acting or interim director. I think presence, stability, and bringing in the obvious capability to demonstrate a steadiness to what they do is very, very important.
So I'm looking at Ms. Goodman's resume, and there's a telephone number on here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to call her, and we can ask her these questions.
Thank you.
Phone set up for them.
Yeah, we can be, but you want to go on there. Okay.
Just phone a friend.
I would not answer your phone.
That's fine. Just make sure you get 10 minutes.
Is this Ms. Goodman?
Yes, it is.
Ms. Goodman, this is a little unusual, but this is Lee Hutton, and I'm calling you from the Inspector General Retention and Selection Committee. And
hi, Lee, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And we have been discussing potential candidates in your on speakerphone, I should tell you, in a room full of people, including the board. And there may be some people on the board that might have some questions of you. I specifically have a question which has been related to if the committee were to recommend you, when physically you would be able to be in the office in Jacksonville.
I could typically probably be there around November 30th after next week.
Okay. That was my main question, but if there's anyone else who has a specific question of Ms. Goodman, this is now the time to ask it. I can pass the phone down.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Goodman, I'm sorry, this is Daniel Henry. I'm one of the members on the committee.
It's hard to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. Thank you so much.
Sorry. My name is Daniel Henry. I'm one of the members on the committee. I just really have one question for you.
Sure.
I'm going to provide the same question to some of the other candidates as well. I think the one unique part that I liked about your resume was the fact that you helped build this office from the beginning. So can you kind of talk about why you feel that experience may help you kind of come into this position on an interim basis?
Sure. At the end of the day, yes, I'm very familiar with the office. I wrote the policy procedures. I got the office ready for accreditation. I think most importantly for the committee is just the concerning factor is, one, to make sure that the office is doing the work it's supposed to be doing and in accordance to the Inspector General standards as well as accreditation. I helped write the accreditation standards for the state of Florida. I'm very familiar, obviously, based on my resume, you can all tell. I have done this work for a very long time. But most importantly, I made a commitment to the state of Jacksonville when we started this venture back in 2015. And I told them that if there were any hiccups along the way, you know, I would try very much to make myself available to help get it back on track because it meant that much to me and to the citizens of Jacksonville, as well as the council at the time and the members of the committee. So I'm here to help. I'm happy to do it. I know this work inside and out. I wrote all the manuals. I'm sure they've edited some of it along the way in the last few years, but I'm quite familiar with how to run the office. And really, it's just a matter of time until you all decide whether you're going to bring back Inspector General Green, whether you're going to move forward with someone else. I'm here just to help. And not look for anything beyond that, but just to make sure that the team at the office gets themselves back on track and make sure it's adding value to the city and the mayor's office, et cetera.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
Perhaps regarding remote availability if needed prior to November 30th.
Ms. Goodman, the second question that was asked was, you've already told us when physically you could be available, but as far as remote availability between now and November 30th, as far as working with the office?
Absolutely. I live with my phone and my keys and all the other gadgets that we have today. So I can be, no problem, make some time for the staff between now and before I can get down there.
Anyone else have any other questions? All right. Ms. Goodman, I know that was a bit unusual, but we had a question, and so I called you.
No worries. I'm happy to help.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
I want to be fair. If the chair would indulge me.
Yes.
For Mr. Sherman, the same question to you. You have unique experiences within the council auditor's office, particularly for how long you've served as council auditor. What do you think you could bring to the position in this interim basis to kind of bring the office back on good footing?
Sure. The council auditor's function is much the same as the inspector general, just a little bit different focus and slightly different methodology. But I was with the council auditor's office for 37 years. The last 11, I was in charge as the council auditor. When the inspector general's office was first being offered up as a suggestion, I was on board at that time and interacted with Cheryl Goodman and Carla. And I know where the city was wanting to head with this, and I wasn't involved much, obviously, in the creation of that, but I did look at things as they were being recommended and suggested and worked through the council process, as well as the referendum that put them in the Constitution. So I'm familiar with them. The council auditor's office is about twice the size of the inspector general's office, so I'm used to dealing with a number of professionals, and I have dealt with slight dysfunction from time to time as people may come in or be at a happy point in their life or career. I consider myself, that's one of my strengths, where I'm rather plain spoken and down to earth. I try to get along with everybody as well as I can. I like doing things like a staff luncheon or just getting people just to be a little bit lower key and so forth and interact. So, and that would be obvious. One of the first things I would do is I want to meet with the entire staff and get to know them and see a little bit of their interactions and so forth, and then in essence, interact with each one of them individually in a lower key way. So, and I would add too that I have been with the city for 41 years now. I know how everything works as far as being able to go to a source of information, have contacts within the city and in other places. I've definitely have spent my entire life here professionally, and I'm doing this as kind of a final accommodation. My life's going to go on either way if I'm selected or not, so don't feel like that's a problem at all. Obviously it isn't, but this is an opportunity to do one more good thing for the city of Jacksonville, and I'm glad to do it. And I can do it for the way the pension plan is structured presently, need to give you that footnote probably, is I'm drawing a full pension from the city of Jacksonville for my 37 years of service, and in order to continue doing that, either on a part-time basis, as I'm doing right now, I can work no more than 50 hours every 2 weeks. If I accept a full-time engagement, which this really needs to be, you can call it, I mean, I'll give you the absolute best shot at 50 hours every 2 weeks. Be glad to do that. Truly, I would be glad to do that. But it sounds like you probably need to have somebody on board every day to try to keep things moving slowly. But I can't work on a full-time basis for more than 6 months. I'll have to roll back at that point. And I'm fine with doing that. But I'm fine with being of counsel for a bit, perhaps in between. When you get a new Inspector General on board, the permanent one, I'm speaking for Mr. Hughes and somewhat, I imagine we'd have no problem with me being on a part-time basis while still there, perhaps for an overlap for a month or so. That's a possibility. But I'm quite flexible. Look forward, if called, I would be glad to do this for the better of the city.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the board right now? I would like to take public comment before we make any motions up here, if there's any public comment on this issue. No. See any public comments? I guess there's no public comment. Yes, sir, Mr. Hughes.
Well, without a clear indication when it's appropriate, in light of the committee being able to be here and discuss a couple rounds, I will simply restate that, no offense to somebody I don't know, got on a phone call, but the proximity, immediacy, and according to our general counsel, the both qualified candidates, the local availability is what's going to hit me. So I would move the selection of Mr. Sherman.
Do we have a second?
I'll make a second for discussion.
All right, discussion.
If I were going to offer any comments, I just still have reservations about Mr. Sherman's close tie to the city, and I have a leaning towards someone who's more independent. Those are my thoughts.
I said both of them were my favorites. You showed my hand. But I just go back to our conversation from last week. We all said collectively that we wanted someone that had the experiences, had the experience from city government, but probably had the most degree of separation. I think they're both people of high quality and high integrity. I think both of them could do the position admirably. That's just my concern.
And is it safe to assume, I think, that we are not going to consider Mr. Weinstein given his remaining at KHA? I think that would be appropriate. Just in terms of my two cents, I think Mr. Sherman is incredibly qualified, but I have the same concern that was relayed, that there is just too close of a relationship. I think that Ms. Goodman not being here until the 30th is really not an issue, given that next week is a significant holiday where so many people are gone, and even if they're at work, it's not serious work next week. It's just one of those weeks where we all get to take a little bit of a break. So I don't view November 30th as a significant issue. And again, with all due respect to Mr. Sherman, I just feel that Ms. Goodman is appropriate given her experience, but yet her removal from the present situation.
And like I said, I narrowed down to both of the candidates. Both of the candidates look good. I have two concerns, like I say, separation piece, and also looking at Ms. Goodman, you know, resume, you know, being a former IG, I just, you know, at this point, my only concern with her was December 1st, and she answered that to November 30th, so I'm kind of leaning towards Ms. Goodman.
Mr. Schmidt?
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw the motion. I can count votes.
All right, do we have any other motions?
I move that we appoint Cheryl Goodman as the interim IG and authorize the chair to negotiate whatever contract, because I'm assuming that that's in the code too.
So I'll second your motion.
Discussion?
I'd actually ask for an amendment, which would be that this committee make the offer the minimum.
Sorry.
As dictated by the budgeting process already.
I completely agree with that.
That's fine.
All right. Any discussion? Last chance, public comment. No public comment. All right. Probably best that we vote individually on this. Mr. Teal, you want to be our tallyer?
Absolutely.
All right. Mr. Henry?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Newby?
Aye.
Mr. Hughes?
Aye.
Mr. Schmidt?
Aye.
All right, and another shot.
I also vote in favor of the motion.
Now I would support the motion also. So unanimously, it sounds that we are willing to offer the position of the Interim Inspector General to Cheryl Goodman. At the rate of the minimum, which was what, Mr. Hughes?
Put it away.
I think you said 147?
Yeah,
147.84.
I don't think it requires a motion, but I think it's safe to say that we can have OGC and Ms. Mosier on behalf of Employee Services get together and finish all this with Ms. Goodman.
Yes. Agreed. All right. That is the business. So I guess at this time, yes, sir.
I do have a question.
Okay.
So in light of this, essentially a selection, and if there is, I know that the staff indicated pending subpoena, and if there is the opportunity, can she be, with great haste, engaged to deal with whatever outstanding issues there are that you all think need to be moved remotely?
As far as Employee Services?
No, there had been mention of pending subpoenas that require the authority of the IG, and does this action give you what you need to get with that Ms. Goodman and do whatever needs to be done quickly?
It does. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, then. I guess, yes.
I did have one question, because it's probably going to be until whenever the investigation's complete. So I just wanted to ask Mr. Teal, I know you mentioned at the last meeting that Ms. Green had retained counsel. Has there been any other communication since then, any intent, legal action?
So I'm not sure that would be appropriate for us to discuss at this time. I think we need to let OGC complete their investigation, and then what my intent would be is once the OGC notifies myself that the investigation has been completed, then at that point we would probably need to figure out exactly what the due process hearing would look like, and then convene to decide the question.
Apologies.
Yes, sir. All right. With that being said, unless there's any other business.
Yes,
sir, Mr. Grant.
Question for clarification, Mr. Chairman. As Mr. Teal said, there's, in addition to Ms. Green, there's two IG employees currently on administrative leave. And I just want to clarify whether it's the committee's intent that the interim inspector general has full authority to deal with internal matters in those situations.
That was my understanding, and that would be my intent unless the committee disagrees.
That's what I understood.
Yes, thank you.
All right, then we shall convene the meeting.